Dave and Ryan's movie review and action.
Everyone loves going to the movies. And while some are amazing, some are awful. Fortunately, we have Dave and Ryan, two guys with nothing better to do than watch movies of today and movies of yesterday. So get your popcorn ready, silence your phones, and relax, because the show is about to begin.
Cue Dave and Ryan in 3, 2, 1.
It's Dave and Ryan's movie review.
Sponsored by the Plan Z Diet. Conquer the crave with Plan Z, the diet that helps you lose weight and keep it off with real food, support, and no exercise.
Welcome into Dave and Ryan's movie review, take 89, Ryan.
89!
One more, we're almost there.
I know.
We're almost there.
Can we file for Social Security now?
Maybe. We can try it. I don't know if Doge will allow it, but we can try it.
We can try.
Doge ain't allowing much right now. Let's just put it out there. How's your week? Been a little under weather, haven't
you? Yeah, I've been sick all week, so it's been hit or miss. You know, I've been still coming in and getting what I need to get done, but I'm glad the weekend's finally over.
Right.
Or the week is finally over.
The week is over, definitely. Definitely. Can relax a little bit more. Then you got fight week. Fight week, baby.
Please don't remind me of that. Jordan came
six
in.
More sleeps,
yeah,
bro.
Jordan came in and said that the other day, and I'm just like, I'm so excited.
I knew you would be. All right, so are you ready to get into this?
Let's do it.
Okay, the first thing we got to do, like we always do every week, we want to keep you on top of what's going on, so we got to go to Hollywood.
Why would we do that?
I don't know.
Welcome to Hollywood Boulevard. A place of glitz, glamour, and dreams. Just kidding. This place is a dump. That's why Dave and Ryan come here each week. You get the news from Hollywood without fearing for your life on the Walk of Fame. It's This Week in Hollywood.
Dune 3 to start shooting this summer. What did you think of the first one? The first couple?
I thought the first one could have been a little more... I know the last two, they were like, what, 3 hours long?
Mm-hmm.
But I think they just kind of lingered on a few things and should have expanded more. Like the first movie, you know, it just took forever for the ending to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you know anything about Dune, you know, the previous TV series and the movies, that first part when they get betrayed, you know, they could expand on that for so long, and the second movie just seemed rushed.
It did, and we talked about that when we went and saw that. It seemed very quick and rushed.
But yeah, like, they could have spent... The entire movie could have been basically him in the desert preparing, and the third movie could have been where he comes back and takes back his... basically avenges his family.
Well, and that's what it is. Denis Villeneuve is aiming to shoot the third one this summer. The team is they're in pre-production right now, getting ready behind the scenes and things like that. June is too early, but summer's the aim.
Yeah, so, and the third one isn't...
The third one's going to be based on the book Messiah.
Messiah, okay, so it's not the Children of Dune.
No, it's going to be based on the book Dune Messiah is what they're saying. It hasn't been dated yet, although Legendary and Warner Brothers have circled a date in December of 2026. They're holding a date for a Denis Villeneuve event film. So
say that name again.
Denis Villeneuve.
Villeneuve.
Villeneuve. I don't know. They said it would be a tight turnaround if they start filming this summer to have it ready for next December. So I guess we'll take a look at it.
Well, they've rushed everything else. Why not rush production?
That's true. You know, I liked the second one. I really did. We'll talk about it next week when we talk Oscars.
Yep.
Because it got nominated for some. And I liked the second one, but I don't know anything about the Dune series going in. I've never seen the series. I've never seen the movie. This was the first, you know, the first one and then the second one were the first time I've dipped my toe, so to speak, in the Dune universe.
You should go back. You should watch the, I think it's like the 1980 something.
With Sting and...
Yeah, you should watch that one. And then there was a series on Sci-Fi You should watch that as well.
Well, and then they've got the series on Max right now,
yeah,
too.
I've just finished.
Is that Prophecies? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, this takes place way before the Dune movie series show. So this is like way before that.
All right, so that we've got that one that's getting ready to start filming, and that'll come out in 26. Another movie that's coming out in 2026 is Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey.
That's interesting, because if you know anything about The Odyssey, it's really weird. If you've ever watched the original movie, it's weird.
Matt Damon is in this as the lead role. We come to find out he will be Odysseus, and then he's joined, of course, the list of people that are in this movie.
Wow.
It just goes on forever. Tom Holland, Zendaya, Robert Pattinson, Lupita Nyong'o, Anne Hathaway, Charlize Theron, Benny Safed, John Barenthal. They just added Elliot Page not too long ago, Himesh Patel, Bill Irwin, Samantha Morton, and Mia Goth. So there's not very many people out there that will be looking for work when this movie starts filming, I guess. It's, of course, based on Homer's epic poem about the 10-year journey from Ithaca to the Trojan War. I don't know if you saw this earlier in the week. They released a picture of Matt Damon. And people are hammering it already.
I have not seen it.
Because he's in they're going off about the fact that he's in the helmet with the brush on the top, you know, the Roman helmets or the Greek helmets. And that wouldn't have been what he wore. He wouldn't have wore that. So I'm sure that eventually, you know, this might just be a teaser photo. I don't think Nolan would do something like that.
If I was Nolan, I would release photos just to make people angry.
Right, and I think maybe that's what he's doing.
He's dicking with the audience, like, oh, throw this out there.
Because I don't
see... Next time, put him in a Batman suit.
Right, I don't see him not getting it, period, right.
Yeah.
I don't see... Christopher Nolan is not that kind of a person.
Next time, have Tom Holland ask him... To ask if he, you know, do you want to know how I got these scars?
Right. So that is set to hit theaters in July of 2026, and production is expected to begin later this month.
Yeah, don't make me laugh, Dave.
Okay, I'll stop.
It hurts the lungs.
I'll stop being funny. Although, then don't look at me, I guess. That's that's the problem. All right, so projections for this week. The Monkey hits theaters. Now, this is an Oz Perkins directed film. Oz Perkins was the guy that directed Long Legs, and it is a Stephen King short story. Projection is set at $25 million for this one. What are you thinking?
I like the trailer. The trailer looks pretty good. It doesn't look like a straight up horror film. At least that's the trailer kind of made it not that way. I think it's gonna hit. I think it'll do 25.
You gonna go with 25? I believe it will too. I think it'll hit. I'm going to say, just to be contrary, I'm going to say 22. I think it will, but I also think that you're going to have people that are going to go see the movie that we did the projections for last week, and that was Captain America Brave New World. Let's talk
Which
about
wasn't
that.
A bad show.
It was not a bad movie at all. It wasn't what I expected, and I feel like that was my fault. For those of you that haven't seen the review and read the comments.
How is that your fault?
Well, and I'll tell you why. For those of you that haven't watched the review on our YouTube channel or our Facebook or seen the comments, I didn't hate the movie. I expected too much from it, I think. So I've got to go see it again.
Okay.
But the review is up on our YouTube channel. It's up on our Facebook pages.
I stand by what I said.
Check it out, yeah. All right, so once again, Captain America Brave New World. That was last week projected. Over $90 million for a four-day weekend because we had the President's Day holiday.
Yep.
So I went with $110 million. Ryan, you went with $120 million.
Yep.
All right. So let's get into the box office and we'll find out how we did. Number five, Ne-Zaw 2. I didn't even see Ne-Zaw 1.
I don't know what that is.
Exactly. $8.3 million. Heart Eyes.
I want to see this.
$10.8 million
no, not
this
that
week.
One. I want to... Love Hurts.
Love Hurts.
The one I want. Yeah. Hard Eyes is the...
That's the one we did the reaction video for.
That's the bad one.
Yeah, that's the scary one.
Why did I get those two mixed up?
I don't know.
I think it's...
They both have to do with love.
Sickness is messing with my mind.
They both have to do with love.
Your love.
All right. So, Hard Eyes, $10.8 million, bringing its total to $22.4. Dog Man, 13.4, bringing its total to 70.4 million.
I still don't know why that's popular.
And the top two movies, brand new this week, Paddington in Peru, $16 million flat. And for those of you that are wondering how Dave and Ryan did, not terrible, but no, not great. Captain America Brave New World, the number one movie, coming in at just over $100 million domestically.
Domestically.
So I was off by 10, you were off by $20 million. But if you got $100 million, what's 10 or $20 million more?
Exactly.
Right? That's the way I look at it. The other part of it, too, is that's domestic worldwide, $192 million and climbing. So that's the great thing. And the great thing about this, and I believe we talked about it last week, when it comes to this movie, the budget on Captain America Brave New World was like $180 million. That's really nothing anymore to make a movie.
Nothing.
So they'll make money on that one.
Well, you know, as we talked in the review, it's not like an over-the-top Marvel movie.
No, it's not. And
it's more like a buddy cop movie.
Right. And the more that things come out and the more reviews that I read and the more that I get people talking about it, and I've got to thinking, yeah, that's very true. This is, if you go back and watch it and look at it, it is really a sequel to The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there's that one. All right. So, this week, this movie is going back into theaters. For our Honest Movie Review, I had to do this because it is going back in theaters. You can have a chance to catch these guys on the big screen. I know you want to.
It's time once again for another Honest Movie Review. Today, we go back to 2008, when a book of fantasy romance was turned into a movie called Twilight.
You're impossibly fast and strong. I know what you are. Your skin is pale white and ice cold. You don't go out into the sunlight.
Say it out loud. Say it.
Vampire.
Are you afraid?
No.
I've had mosquito bites that were more passionate than this undead piece of crap riff on Romeo and Juliet. I can't wait to speak with you again next week.
Okay, I still have a problem
I'm
with
sparkly
vampires. I've always
sparkly,
had it.
I shine so bright. I'm Twilight.
Right?
Sparkly.
Did you just make that up on the fly?
I did.
Wow.
Sick brain can be good sometimes.
I think everybody enjoys, there was the clip or the picture of how most people wanted the Twilight series to end, and it's Edward and Bella sitting on a log and Blade standing behind them.
Yeah. I liked how the Twilight series ended before we realized it was a dream sequence. When everybody died, I was like, yes, yes! And then it's like, it didn't happen. I was like, now I just feel cheated. I want my money back.
Man.
This is not what I paid for.
That's not what I paid for. That's not what was in the brochure.
Yeah.
So you could go see that movie. It is going back into theaters just to make you happy, I guess. I don't know. All right, this week we're going to review Billy Madison. Can you believe that movie's been around for 30 years?
Yeah, I know how old I am. I know when it came out. Yes.
It came out in February of 1995, so we're going to take
a stab. I was in fifth grade when this movie came out.
And do a review of Billy Madison, and then we'll talk some Adam Sandler movies, because why not?
Yeah.
I think Adam Sandler, I equate the Adam Sandler movies to Beatles songs. Some of them are really good, and some of them are just plain not good at all.
Kind of like his music.
Yes, and we'll talk about that. And then, getting you ready, because next week we're going to have two segments completely dedicated.
Dos segmentos.
To the Oscars, because the Oscars are next weekend on March 2nd.
Yep.
So we will do Oscar snubs this week and talk about those. And like I said, next week.
Just for this Oscars? Or
just for, well, we can talk about this one and then maybe go back and look at some of the other ones.
Okay.
How's that sound? And then the other part too, like I said, next week we will have two segments that are nothing but Oscars, and we'll give you our Oscar picks. We had a lot of fun with it last year, so we're going to do it again this year.
Nice.
All right. Have you got your evening gown picked out?
I just got to find some matching shoes.
Okay, perfect. What, you got the handbag and everything already?
Oh, I forgot the handbag.
You're going to have to get that to match your shoes.
I need a little clasp.
perfect. So when we come back on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, we're going to be talking Billy Madison, the 30th anniversary of the Adam Sandler comedy. That's coming up on the Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, brought to you by the Plan Z Diet.
Everyone on set, shut up. Shut up. These two buffoons are about to talk about a new release. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, Segment 1. Action.
What's more exciting than a brand new release to the movie theater? According to Dave and Ryan, nothing. They're the first to see it, so you're the first to hear about it.
Welcome back to Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, and for the movie review this week, we're going to go back and talk about the Adam Sandler movie, Billy Madison. Now, this movie turns 30 years old this month.
Yeah.
And Ryan says he remembers when this movie came out because he was in fifth grade.
Yeah, you were probably like a senior in college.
I could have been. I don't know. 95?
No, you were probably out of college. You were.
I was already well in the workforce.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were probably...
according to your standards.
In some deadbeat job.
Something. All right. Once again, 1995, rated PG-13, 1 hour, 28 minutes long. God, beautiful runtime on this movie.
Yeah.
Stars Adam Sandler, Bridget Wilson Sampras, Darren McGavin, Bradley Whitford, the late Norm MacDonald, and the late Chris Farley are in this one.
It's directed by Tamara Davis.
And so the great thing about this movie is you were just humming it a minute ago, the back to school thing.
Back to school. Back to school.
Here's the basis of the movie.
Sorry.
Billy Madison is a screw-up. His dad wants to, you know, wanted him to take over the company that he owns, which is a big hotel chain. But he figures that Billy can't handle it. So he's going to let Bradley Whitford's character, who is just a terrible human being, take over the company.
Yeah.
And so Billy comes up with the idea that he is going to go back and finish every grade and graduate high school again in, what is it, 2 weeks per grade? Is that, I believe, is the correct
terminology? I thought it was 1 week per grade.
But so he goes back to school, basically, to learn all these things. Breezes through kindergarten, first grade, second grade. Third grade, hits a roadblock by the name of Miss Veronica Vaughn.
Miss Veronica.
So he ends up falling for her. And I think she just feels sorry for him because he's so stupid that she just falls in love with him. Pretty simple.
Yeah, the short term, yeah.
Yeah. And so...
this plot was not hard to follow.
It was not. Not at all. Could have been followed by a kid in kindergarten. So she, along the way, Bradley Whitford's character...
Fun fact, the dodgeball scene in this movie was real.
Ooh.
The day it happened, Adam Sandler went to all the parents and told them what was going to happen to Adam, sign release forms. And so when you see kids crying and running,
they're really crying.
That's real.
Nice.
Cause he flung those things at him.
Good job. That's realistic.
Yeah. Method acting right there.
Perfect. Bradley Whitford is realizing that he has a pretty good shot at doing this. So he goes and he blackmails the principal of the elementary school because he was a wrestler named the Revolting Blob.
And he killed someone on accident.
And he killed somebody on accident. And so then it comes down to a one day, what is it, academic decathlon, they call it.
Yep.
And
you got to remember, he apologized to people he bullied in high school, too.
That's true. He had to go
back.
Plays
a part.
Yes. Steve Buscemi had to go back and apologize to Steve Buscemi because he treated him like garbage in high school.
And he marks his name off his kill list.
His kill list.
And ends up saving him in the end.
He does. And so this is a fun, it's a good movie. I like this one.
Yeah, it's definitely not a movie that's going to make you think a lot. Just sit back. If you're looking for a laugh, you'll laugh.
And
like the Adam Sandler type of comedy.
I was going to say, this one came out in that string with there was Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore and The Wedding Singer. They all kind of came out. And I probably, if I had to guess, I'd say it's probably about a 10-year period. They all kind of came out together.
Yeah. I also,
was Big Daddy in there?
Yeah.
So... Adam Sandler, and we're going to talk more about Adam Sandler movies coming up in just a moment, but this one was a lot of fun. It was, and it kind of makes you go back and remember, you know, that everybody is a screw up at certain points in their life, but they can turn things around. And at the end of the movie, he decides that he is not going to take over the company. He lets Carl do it, and he's going to go back to school to be a teacher. So happy ending for everyone.
Happy ending.
I love this movie. It is this one. Yes, is a certified remote dropper for me.
Oh, certified.
I will watch this one if it's
remote.
On. I will watch this one if it's on because I love this one. This one and Happy Gilmore, probably two of my favorite Adam Sandler movies, really.
You know, have you ever seen his first movie?
Which one?
It's not Overboard, but it's something like that. Basically, he plays the this Billy Madison type of character on a yacht with his parents' money, basically. I don't remember what the name of it was.
I have to go back and look that up.
Yeah, but it was like one of his... Sure. It did like horrible.
Well, I'm sure it did. But now now he's got multi-million dollar deals with Netflix and everything.
Yeah, and they're just pumping out some good things, some garbage.
And he's just, you know...
Going overboard is what it's called.
Okay, and then he's just making movies with Jennifer Aniston.
Well, yeah, wouldn't you?
Yeah. That's a funny story between those two. Because they knew each other growing up. And to hear him tell the story, she had tried out for Saturday Night Live. And she was going to get signed to be on Saturday Night Live with Adam Sandler. And he was very excited and everything. And Sandler says, I went in to talk to Lauren Michaels. And Lauren's like, we lost Jennifer Aniston. She's going to go and be on this show that they're just starting. They're filming a pilot for it about her and five of her friends that just live in New York City. And hopefully it works out for her.
I think she did all right.
That was Friends, for those of you that don't know.
I think she made the right call.
She did okay. She did okay. Just because she can't, you know, make a relationship work. I could make a relationship work, Jen. I'm just saying. I could make it work.
Aren't you married?
That's beside the point.
Sounds like you're throwing a dagger in your relationship.
All right. Well, my wife knows. She gets it. So, since this is a review, I'm going to give this one, I'm going to say 4 popcorn buckets out of 5. I like this movie that much. It's a lot of fun.
4?
4.
Yeah. It's not my favorite Adam Sandler movie, but it's still a pretty good one. I'm going to have to give this one 3.5.
All right. So, go see this one. It's out there. You could find it for next to nothing, I'm sure. But Billy Madison, once again, celebrating his 30th anniversary this month. And it's out there. You can find it. All right. Now, we talked about Billy Madison, so that's one that's off the list. But Adam Sandler has a bunch of other movies that are really, really great. And I want to get into some of the comedies, but I also want to talk about some of his more serious roles.
Okay.
Because he's one of those actors that really does great in anything. Unless the scripts are bad. Unless the scripts are bad.
We talk about it.
But he's a pretty good actor. Let's just put it that way. All right, so that's coming up. Adam Sandler movies on Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, brought to you by the Plan Z Diet.
Hey, idiots. We're back from commercial. Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, segment 2, and action.
Welcome back to Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, brought to you by the Plan Z Diet. Now is the time. We're digging in.
We're digging.
We're going to talk some Adam Sandler movies. We just talked about Billy Madison.
We're not going to be sandbagging here.
We're not going to be talking that one. Okay. But you go all the way back. The first movie we want to talk about, you've got to go all the way back to 1994, and that was Airheads. That's the movie I can really remember him being in first.
Yeah, and he plays this drummer who's just clueless. And
the Lone
Ranger. Ladies love him, but he has no clue. This movie is great. It's got Brendan Fraser's in it,
mm-hmm.
Steve Buscemi, Chris Farley's in it, obviously Adam Sandler, and Judd Nelson's in it.
And so, yeah, it's the story of a band, a trio, that they call themselves the Lone Ranger. Well, and Joe Mantegna.
Oh, yeah.
Is in this, and because he's the disc jockey.
That's right.
Because he's the one that brings up the point, you know, if there's three of you, you're not very well alone. So,
yeah.
But it's about them trying to get a record deal, and they basically hijack a radio station to get their music played.
Well, there's two stories going on. With the radio station, they're just about to go into a rebranding from rock metal to soft rock, The Sounds of the Rain. And so it turns into a giant cluster, and they end up giving a concert on top of the radio station after when they, and then they get arrested and they're performing in prison, and Steve Buscemi's character's kind of showing off like he would to the ladies, but it's a male prison.
So he's, yeah. No, this one, like I said, though, this is probably the first one that I can really remember. And, you know, Brendan Fraser was like the flavor of the month right then when he came out with this one. Probably would be the movie that got him looked at for like things like The Mummy and that kind of stuff.
Well, he was definitely, at that time, you know, he was an up-and-comer.
Yes.
That movie came out in 94. Yeah, so, you know, he was in the army, came out after that. Son-in-Law was before that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then he went on to obviously do some of the George of the Jungle and stuff like that afterwards.
So, great, great film there. Check that one out, Airheads. Up next, like I said, we already talked about Billy Madison. Now we got to talk about Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
And it's this, such a great film. We're getting a sequel.
Yeah, they're making a sequel.
It's in post-production right now. It's going to be on Netflix later this year. Happy needs to raise money to get his grandma's house out of Hawk. And he has this uncanny ability to hit the long ball at golf, but he can't hit. He has zero short game.
Yeah. And so who does he look to?
Chubbs
Carl Peterson, Weathers.
Carl Weathers in this one. And the funny thing about
it's
it.
It's all in the hips.
Right?
It's all
one
in
of the
hips.
Funniest lines is when he gets up there and he hits it and he gets a hole in one and he goes, well, that was a lot easier. I'm just going to do that from now on.
Yeah, and Grizzly Adams had a beard. Grizzly Adams did have a beard.
Lee Trevino is probably one of the best parts of this movie because he just kind of sneaks in there every now and then.
Yeah.
So another great movie. Nobody knew who she was in that one, but the... Julie Bowen?
Yep.
Went on to become the mom on Modern Family. She's in this one. Ben Stiller makes an appearance in this, as he does in the sequel. Yeah.
Don't forget Shooter McGavin.
Shooter McGavin. He's going to be in the sequel as well. I'm really looking forward to the sequel to this one, but check out the first one if you've never seen it.
Yeah.
This is pretty good. up next in 96, Bulletproof. I'm going to let you handle this one because I don't know a lot about it. I know the movie, but I've never really seen the movie that much.
You've never seen Bulletproof?
I never have. Is it him and Damon Wayans?
Yeah. Okay. Basically, they're two criminals, and basically one of them turns out to be a cop. And basically, he's bringing them in, and they're being hunted. It's a crazy story. There's a scene when they're hiding out in a hotel, and Adam Sandler's trying to sneak out of the bathroom in handcuffs, and he gets stuck in the window.
That I can remember.
Yeah.
That sticks out to me, so that probably is why. Very memorable.
Basically, he's a witness that he's got to bring in.
And that one came out in 96. Yep. Then in 98, Robbie Hart, The Wedding Singer, hits the screen. This was a great movie, too. Great soundtrack from a nostalgia standpoint. And because everybody that went and saw this movie, everybody grew up with somebody like Robbie Hart. Or at least knew somebody that was in this movie, had a friend like that. You know what I mean? So this was a great movie with him. And you had Drew Barrymore in this one. This is maybe the first time those two got together.
I think it was.
Drew Barrymore is in this one. Christine Taylor is in it. And then you also start to get a lot of the friends that you see of his that are in movies going forward.
Yep.
Maybe he had made to the point where he could start calling the shots in some of his movies. So The Wedding Singer in 98. The Waterboy also came out in 98. That was where you get a lot of more of his friends in that one. Henry Winkler shows up in this one. Jerry Reed.
I was just going to say, this is also one where he's getting a little bigger names coming in.
Kathy Bates is in this one. So this was a great, great film. I didn't care for The Waterboy too much.
What?
I know, and I'll tell you, I just didn't care for the... I didn't care for the
use your
his voice. I didn't care for the way he talked in this movie. It was okay.
Okay.
I
was in eighth grade when this came out. I thought this was amazing. You know, maybe it's for people, you know,
small minds.
Immature boys.
There are a lot of people I know that love this movie.
Yeah.
I just, it's good, but I just, it's not one of my favorites. Then the next year,
Abdullah Ablingad is messed up.
Maybe. Then the next year, Big Daddy comes out. That was a great movie to me.
Yes, it was.
That was a lot of fun with him, and you had Jon Stewart in that one. And the Jolie Fisher's in this one.
There's also one of the ones where he's not. It's not just straight up comedy,
right?
It gets really emotional.
A little bit of a love story even in this one for him. So that one, for one of my favorites as well. I like that one. I'm not going to say that it's a remote dropper, but it's pretty good. It's pretty close. Little Nicky.
I really like Little Nicky.
Did you like Little Nicky?
I did.
All right, I'm going to give it to you.
When he's sleeping in the park and he gets robbed.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat your heart.
Yeah, this movie really did nothing for me.
Well, you were probably in your mid-30s when this came out.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Then we go forward. One of my wife's favorite movies in 2002. And then he starts to come out and has a few movies that he's fairly... They're serious movies. My wife loves the movie Punch Drunk Love.
It was okay.
She could watch that movie any day, I think. And you said this one was filmed in Utah?
Yeah, this one was partially filmed in Utah. The scene where... I just blanked his name. Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's in the furniture store. That's actually in Provo.
Okay.
And the three brothers that rough him up, they live here in Utah. They're actors. They've been on a few different things. I'm not going to throw their names out there because I don't want people harassing it, but they're good people.
Good movie. Good movie. If my wife likes it, I'm going to say it's a good movie. Then we're going to jump forward from 2002 to 2003. And this is where you feel like he's finally really hit the big time because he stars across from Jack Nicholson in Anger Management.
Yes, I love this movie.
Jack Nicholson's character in this movie is fantastic.
Yes.
He's awesome. This is a great one. And correct me if I'm wrong, Adam Sandler needs to get some psychiatric help, some mental help. And he goes to Jack Nicholson, who is this renowned psychiatrist, and he's kind of a loony himself.
Yeah, well, if I remember, he's wrongly, he's sentenced to anger management for something he didn't
right,
do.
Right, right.
Because he's basically, he keeps his anger inside.
He won't let it go.
And Jack Nicholson's just desperately trying to get that out of him, and... Towards the end of the movie, it's just hilarious.
It is. It gets, yeah, that's true. Because at the end of the movie, basically all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Really. So that one was really good. 51st Dates in 2004. Another one with him and Drew Barrymore. Lots of fun. And, you know, that is one of those things that is love. What he does in that movie for her is love.
Yeah.
Where she has zero short-term memory, and every day he has to make her fall in love with him again. That's love to me. That's a great movie. Then another one that's really good, and I noticed it's on Netflix right now, Spanglish.
I didn't care for Spanglish.
It's with him and Taya Leone. That one is really good. And yeah, if you want to check that one out, it's on Spanglish. There was the remake of The Longest Yard. That one was okay. Click. I have never seen Click, and I have been told that I need to sit down and watch Click.
It's a good one. It's a comedy, but also kind of a life lesson about don't rush through life, basically.
So that one was really good. That came out in 2006. Rain Over Me. This one was, if I remember correctly, this one was around the, was this around 9/11?
Yeah, it's okay. About a man who lost his family on the September 11th attack.
Okay. And so that's another very serious role for him. Then coming up in 2007, gets us another one in 2007, gets us about as far away from that as we can. With I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, two friends that are firefighters that pose as gay men so the other one doesn't lose his health insurance.
Yeah, basically he's going to lose his health insurance unless he gets married. So basically he gets married to a man whore.
And they
which
have,
is his best friend.
And then they have a temptress in there played by Jessica Alba. So that's
Jessica Biel.
Oh, Jessica Biel. Biel, Alba, they're both beautiful. It counts. One of them sleeps with, you know, Justin Timberlake, and
that's
the other
Biel.
One is single. So then you don't mess with the Zohan. Not a good movie.
It was okay.
Okay. I'll give you that one.
Like, if you don't have anything else to watch, it'll do.
There you go. Funny People. That one wasn't bad.
That was kind of sad.
It was. That was with him and Seth Rogen, right? And
basically, he has cancer.
He's dying of cancer, yeah. And so he goes back and kind of goes through his life. Aziz Ansari is in that one. Eric Bana is in that as well. That's a pretty good flick there. Then come the Grown Ups movies. The first one, I enjoyed the first one.
The first one was amazing.
I thought the first one was great. It's really like a who's who of comedy in that movie at that time, because you had Sandler and Chris Rock and Kevin James and Dave Spade. And all those guys were in it. That great movie. Then 2011, just go with it. If I'm going to do that with anybody, it's going to be Jennifer Aniston.
I
would not have
one.
A problem with just go with it. He's a plastic surgeon, and he carries around a wedding ring all the time, and that's how he hits on women. So he finds the one, played by Brooklyn Decker, and they go to Hawaii together. And at the end of the time, he is duped or had, you know, kind of roped in Jennifer Aniston to be his ex-wife, quote unquote, so that because the Decker finds the wedding ring in his pocket. And so, no, I'm getting divorced. So he loops Jennifer Aniston, who is actually his assistant. They go to Hawaii. Brooklyn Decker decides that they're going to get married while they're in Hawaii. And he comes to realize that he's in love with Jennifer Aniston. That was who? Come on. Really?
And you like this movie?
I love this movie. Jennifer Aniston.
Moving on.
And it's got Nicole Kidman and Dave Matthews in it. Great movie. Then you had a couple that were just forgettable. Jack and Jill.
Horrible.
And That's My Boy.
Horrible.
Those were both horrible. And then we had mentioned about the fact that I think he found a whole new audience when he loaned his voice to the movie Hotel Transylvania.
Yes, definitely.
And that opened him up for a whole new bunch of, a whole new audience. Then, of course, you had Grown Ups 2. I didn't care for it as much as the first one.
It was okay.
Blended was a really good movie. Another one with him and Drew Barrymore. Yep. Great, great movie. We're almost there. Pixels, you guys just made me watch this one the other day.
It's a good one.
Came out in 2015. If you've never seen it, check it out. That one's pretty good. The Do-Over, The Ridiculous Six, you said is not good.
Yeah, The Ridiculous Six is horrible.
The Do-Over is him and David Spade.
Sandy Wexler was weird.
Yeah? Interesting.
It was weird.
Interesting. But yeah, we've got like three Hotel Transylvania movies.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 2019, he does a murder mystery that's a Netflix movie with Jennifer Aniston, where they play a married couple that gets stuck in Europe and has to solve a murder.
Yeah.
Another, it's a comedy. It's very good. Uncut Gems is a movie that has been getting a lot of play. People loved him in that one. Then Hubie Halloween, never saw that one.
No. Hustle was good.
Hustle was good. That was where he was the basketball guy, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And so let's see. Hustle, another murder mystery too. And now we're just waiting for Happy Gilmore 3.
Two.
Happy Gilmore 2 coming out soon.
Yep. He's also got another one coming out, J. Kelly. I'm not quite sure what that is.
I'm not 100% on that one.
An untitled one that's in development.
And that's in development still. So, okay, out of everything that we just reached and we went over, I'm going to put you on the spot. Pick one.
Pick one?
Pick one Adam Sandler movie to watch the rest of your life.
I don't play those games because that's stupid.
Well, join the club.
I'll pick my favorite Adam Sandler, not one to watch for the rest of my life, because that's just
what's dumb. Your favorite?
I would probably have to say my favorite one is probably Blended. I really like Blended.
That was a good one. I'm going with Just Go With It.
Okay.
That is a great movie. Nick Swardson's in it. It's fantastic. Check it out. All right, when we come back, there are people that are not happy with the Oscars this year. So there were some sizable snubs that we'll talk about. And if we have time, we'll go back and talk about a few that people were like, I can't believe this person didn't get nominated.
Was that your old man voice?
Yes, that was my old man voice. All right. So when we come back, we're going to talk Oscar snubs on the Dave and Ryan's Movie Review, brought to you by the Plan Z Diet.
All right, imbeciles. Everyone quiet down. Dave and Ryan's movie review, segment 3, and action.
Okay, so for the final segment, we talked about next week.
The final segment.
We're going to talk for 2 whole segments next week about Oscars.
Yeah, this is a little preview.
And give you our Oscar picks.
This is
picks.
A tribute.
This is not the greatest song in the world. This is but a tribute.
Yeah.
But we went through and found some of the, you know, what some of the articles and stuff have said are Oscar snubs.
For this year.
For 2025.
And if we have time, we'll talk about others.
The biggest snubs of all time. All right, let's start with Best Actress, because ladies first.
Yep.
Nicole Kidman, Baby Girl, was the movie. She's an executive who has an affair with a younger coworker that is her liege or something like that. It's pretty steamy movie from what I've heard.
Yeah, it's not an original film.
Haven't seen it. However, one Best Actress at the Venice Film Festival, not nominated.
That is a snub.
That could be a snub. Angelina Jolie played opera singer Maria Callas in Maria. They say that's a snub. Amy Adams, I have made no, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I haven't tried to cover up the fact that I do not like her as an actress.
She's your Mackie.
I do not like her as an actress. I just don't. For the movie Night Bitch, if I can say that on the radio.
That's the name of the movie.
It's the name of the
title.
Movie. And then Kate Winslet, Tilda Swinton, and Pamela Anderson round out that thing. Like when Pamela Anderson, The Last Showgirl came out, everybody was blown away by Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, I think Pamela's the biggest snub here. I don't think she should win, but I think she should at least have gotten nominated.
Well, her and Nicole Kidman, at least. All right, and then in the Best Supporting Actress category, I'm going to save the first one for last because I actually sat and watched that movie over the weekend, and we'll talk about that really quickly. Jamie Lee Curtis, The Last Showgirl.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest snub.
That could be Elle Fanning for A Complete Unknown.
That's also a good one.
And then Margaret Qualley for the movie The Substance. I'm still trying to figure this one out.
Yeah, you've been trying to explain that to me all week, and I'm just like, I don't get it.
I watched it.
And now Dave's
confused. I'm still processing, really. I'm serious.
I blame your daughters.
It wasn't plural. It was my daughter.
Oh, daughter. I blame your daughter for making
it. And my wife had never seen it, so we sat together and watched it. Yeah, it's...
Look what you made Dave do.
I will say this, and this is mostly for the guys out there. There's a lot of nudity in this, guys.
Why you watched it?
I don't know. I'm still trying... Like I said, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. In the Best Actor category, Daniel Craig for his movie Queer. And this one seems to be the one that has everybody... upset.
Yeah, I think he should have gotten nominated.
That he was very, you know, he's excellent in this movie, and they just kind of overlooked him in that one. Hugh Grant in Heretic, they overlooked him in that as well. I have yet to watch that movie. It's coming on, I believe, March 7th. It's going to be on Max.
Okay.
So I'll have to watch that then. And then you saw this movie, Paul Mescal, for Gladiator 2.
I don't think that's a snub.
You don't think that's a snub?
No.
Okay. So moving forward with Gladiator 2.
He was good, but I don't think he was Oscar.
Okay. Moving forward with Gladiator 2, Best Supporting Actor, Denzel Washington.
That is a snub.
Denzel
was amazing in this.
Okay. And then I will stick up for Stanley Tucci in Conclave.
Yeah, I'm also, that is also
that was
a
great
one.
Movie, and he was fantastic in it. And then Peter Sarsgaard for September 5. That's the one about the Munich one.
Yeah.
The Munich remake, kind of whatever. From a different angle. So those are the snubs in the Best Supporting Actor category. Best Director, John Chu for Wicked. I don't know how you handle that one. He had so much to work with. He had source material already. He knew how it looked. It's not like he came up, unless I'm completely off base here, and I have been, but did he really come up with a new vision for Wicked?
Honestly, I think Wicked's overrated. I think the only reason it's so popular is because of all the theater people.
Yeah.
I don't think this is
a snub. It's popular?
Yeah, I don't think it's a snub.
I don't know. I don't know. He has proven the fact that he can make 3-hour movies. Good for him.
Yeah.
Denis Villeneuve for Dune 2.
I don't agree with this. I don't think it's a snub.
You don't think that one's a snub?
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot better.
Yeah, Edgar Berger for Conclave, I would agree with that. That was a great movie. It's on Peacock right now if you want to watch it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And then Ridley Scott for Gladiator 2. What did you think?
I got mixed feelings about this. Like it was a good movie,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't know if it was Oscar Best Picture or Best Director. I don't know. It's kind of mixed up. I'm yay and nay on it.
Yeah.
About 50-50.
Right. So there's those ones. And then I went through and kind of dug up some of the ones that they consider the biggest snubs of all time. And I'm sorry. At the time, yes, I agree. It probably was a snub. But I think it's one of the most overrated movies of all time. Citizen Kane loses Best Picture to How Green Was My Valley.
I see, and I disagree with you. For the longest time, that was considered the best movie
it
ever
was.
Made.
Yeah,
just because of the way it was filmed, the techniques they used. It was state of the art. Everything was brand new. It was amazing. So yeah, it was a snub.
So there's that one, and then the fact that Alfred Hitchcock has never won a Best Director Oscar.
That is crazy.
That is a snub to me.
He's considered one of the greatest.
Yes.
There's even a technique named after him, the Hitchcock effect.
Yep.
Is when they use it in Jaws when you push in and zoom out at the same time, so it looks like the background on the characters moving out as you're focusing in on them.
So it makes you look like you're on a bad acid trip.
Yeah.
Kind of. Well, good for him. See? This one, to me, when I read it, I'm like, are you kidding me? Seriously? Glenn Close and Peter O'Toole have been nominated for 8 Academy Awards and never won.
That is just, that, no, why?
I wonder, the question, I guess, and this would be something to go back and look at, how many times has Glenn Close been nominated in the same category as, say, Meryl Streep?
Yeah.
I don't know. And then Saving Private Ryan losing to Shakespeare in Love. I still don't understand that one.
Yeah, no.
I didn't really care for Shakespeare in Love.
In case you don't know this, the Academy Awards, it's really political.
Oh, definitely.
You have to start campaigning for...
Probably more so now than when Shakespeare in Love and Saving Private Ryan were in
like
there.
You have to throw like parties and invite the people to get nominated, and then you have to throw more parties and give them presents to win. It's worse than politics.
It is. It truly is. So there's what we've come up with for snubs. As I said, next week we're going to talk for 2 full segments and give you all of our Oscar picks. That means it's going to be a busy week watching movies this weekend.
Yeah.
Darn it. I'm going to have to sit down and watch some films.
Oh, shucks.
Right? What are you going to do? So we've got all that coming next week. So you know what? Once again, check out the YouTube channel. There's new content on there 3 times a week. Go to YouTube channel. Go to Dave and Ryan's Movie Review. Check us out on Facebook, Dave and Ryan's Movie Review. Like and subscribe to all of those pages. So many things that go on those pages throughout the week, and you need to check it out. Plus, as Ryan alluded to, yes, we have cleaned up the YouTube page, and it's all organized and stuff for you now. So you can find stuff
in there.
We did. It was time. It was definitely time.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, until next week then, go see a movie.